Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to those of you in the public gallery. I might just ask perhaps the younger members of our audience might perhaps sit on the floor and allow the older people to use the chairs that we have. That might be worthwhile. Thanks, guys. Good job. We're grown-ups over there, are we? Council acknowledges. Council acknowledges and pays respects to the Tasmanian Aboriginal community as the traditional and original owners and continued custodians of this land. All persons in attendance are advised that it's council policy to record council meetings in accordance with council's audio recording policy. The audio recording of this meeting will be made available to the public and on Council's website for a minimum period of 6 months. Members of the public in attendance at the meeting who do not wish for their words to be recorded and or published on the website should contact a relevant Council officer and advise of their wishes prior to the start of the meeting. I would ask everyone to make sure that your phone is either turned off or on silent. Thank you. We have a full complement of aldermen around the table, so we don't have any apologies. Item 2.0, do we have any declarations of interest in any item on the agenda?
Through you, Madam Chair, I have an item in closed session.
Thank you. Item 3.1, confirmation of minutes. For item 3.1.1, council meeting of the 30th of April. Do I have a move?
No, please.
6 April.
Thank you, Alderman Goodwin. Alderman Matthews. Alderman Goodwin.
Nothing to add.
Alderman Matthews.
No, nothing to add, Madam Mayor.
Any comments? Alderman Goodwin to close.
To close.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 3.2 is public question time. Item 3.2.1 is the responses to questions raised at prior meetings. On page 4, do I have a mover for the recommendation, please?
So moved.
Alderman Perry, Alderman Goodwin, thank you. Alderman Perry.
Response is more than adequate. We'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Goodwin?
No, Alderman
Matthews,
Madam Mayor.
Oh, I beg your pardon, Alderman Matthews. Sorry. I beg your pardon. Any other comments? Alderman Perry to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Questions on notice from the public. Do we have a mover for that recommendation, please? On page 15. Alderman Emerton. Alderman Jarman. Alderman Emerton. Alderman Jarman.
Nothing further, thank you.
Thank you. Any comments? Alderman Emerton to close. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. And we can now come to item 3.2.3, which is questions on notice from the public. I'd ask members of the public who might like to ask a question to step up to the microphone, stating your name and address and posing your question, with a reminder that you have two questions next.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear. Is this the questions without notice?
Yes.
Yes, I have.
Thank you. Thank you.
Right. Trevor Smith, 7 Glen Court, Devonport. Dear Chairperson, I wish to submit this question. Is there any reason why the Julie Burgess is still in Devonport? Last month it was mentioned in the media that the Julie Burgess was to be used in Hobart for 3 months, while the Lady Nelson was in dry dock, which it still is. Has the council missed an opportunity to pay off some of the $500,000 plus debt and still growing? Was the notice of the Julie Burgess a fake news statement to make the council look good with the ratepayers of Devonport?
Mr. Smith, I'm not going to accept that question. If you would like to rephrase it in a much more conciliatory manner, and I find it offensive. I don't have to explain any more than that to you. You can use it as your second question if you'd like to rephrase.
I can use this as a question.
You can use it as your second question if you would care to rephrase it in a
so
different
which part
manner.
Do you find it offensive?
I do not have to explain to you any further than that, Mr. Smith.
Right. With regards to file 34984, this saga continues. It's nearly 3 months since the works were completed at the junction of Ronald Street and Albaker Street. Why has it taken so long to fix a small problem? Are the contractors thumbing their nose in relation to these repairs? Do they want the ratepayers to foot the bill? It seems like that. What is the time frame with the defect maintenance period? Is it 12 months to 2 years before these repairs will actually be fixed?
Again, Mr. Smith, I'm not going to accept that question. If you would care to rephrase and ask it later, if we have time, that would be fine.
Rephrase. What, do you want to tear it up, do you? What?
I would like it to be asked in a much more polite and straightforward manner, and that's all I need to say. Thank you. Sit
you don't
down.
Like it, that's all.
Thank you. Yes.
My name is Patricia Ellison, and I'm here to represent the Central North Field Naturalists Group because we do have very serious concerns about...
Excuse me, I need your home address.
It's 9 Lethbourg Avenue, Turners Beach.
Thank you. And a reminder that you have 2 questions.
Okay, just a brief preamble and then
yes,
to my questions.
Thank you.
We have very serious concerns about the lack of transparency surrounding the mountain bike track developments at Kelsey Tier. We strongly believe that approval of the tracks should be deferred until after the master plan is completed. We urge the Alderman to support option B on the agenda because in our opinion it is the only one of the 2 options that will deliver a rigorous, comprehensive, transparent, fair and community-supported master plan. And we also believe this will be the most strategic way to manage competing uses, natural values, and infrastructure demands into the future.
Your questions?
My first question for Council relates to safety in the reserve after the development, or yes, if this development goes ahead. Is Council putting in place management strategies that will, 1, minimise its liability for injuries, and 2, ensure that other users of the reserve outside the mountain bike community will feel confident to continue their activities there without concerns for their safety?
Thank you. And as you're aware, it is an item on the agenda, and I'm fairly confident most of your questions will be answered then, and if not, they will also be answered in writing by the GM. Thank you.
Can I ask my second
question? That is your second question. You've had 2 questions. You may come back if we have time. Thank you. Do I have any other questions?
Josh Cox, 12 Westbury Place, Stemport. In regards to the agenda, item 5.2, Kelsey Tier Mountain Bike Trails, on page 285, attachment 4 of the agenda, a letter addressed to the General Manager from Mr. Peter Sims on behalf of the Friends of Kelsey Tier included several photos of felled trees and the opening statement of the noise from chainsaws felling trees. The interference being the trees were felled as part of the most recent trail building. My question to the council is, has council been made aware that this is not the case and in fact no live trees have been felled and there's been no chainsaw on site?
Thank you. I'm not sure of the answer. That will be responded in writing, and as you are aware, it is an item on the agenda that we will be dealing with. Thank you.
Good evening, Peter Simons, 100 North Street, Devonport. In regards to the agenda item 5.2, Kelsey Tier Mountain Bike Trails, the State Government made funding available through the Tasmanian Cycle Tourism Fund of $4.2 million with a minimum grant of $50,000, which is now finalised. Question to the Council. If the Government introduces a Stage 2, would Council give consideration to apply or support an application in the future, pending the outcome of the KT Management Plan, of course?
I'll take that that question on notice. That would have to be something, that, to be honest, that we would have to deal with at the time. I certainly can't give you that undertaking at this point.
Second question?
Yes.
Are council aware of the significant reduction of illegal activities such as motorbikes and four-wheel drives occurring in the KLCT Reserve, and in fact reporting illegal woodcutting since the upsurge of mountain biking and the development of the trails to date?
Thank you. It certainly has been reported to Alderman that anecdotally that that's the case. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do I have any other questions? Gentleman first and then you, Scott.
Sorry.
The gentleman first. And you can be next.
My name is Peter Miller, Gilwood Street 4th. And my question is directed to the Acting Mayor and the General Manager. With reference to the demolition of the Albert Devonport Maternity Hospital, I would like to ask on what grounds was it justified for the Devonport City Council to allow the dumping of their rubbish in another council designated area within the Central Coast and 4th in particular? Is the Devonport City Council going to enforce the contractors to remove the concrete waste that has been dumped within a watercourse that could contaminate the Forth River?
Thank you, Mr. Miller. It's my understanding that that happened without our knowledge and without our permission, and certainly it was stopped as soon as we understand it. I don't know whether the General Manager wants to add any more to that.
Through you, Madam Mayor, the situation is that that matter is currently being, it's a matter now for the Central Coast Council and the EPA, and my understanding is that they are still working through those issues with the landowner of the particular site where this material was taken to.
Absolutely. Ms Peebles will take it. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Russell.
Scott Russell, 1 Gingella Place, Devonport. Just in regards to items 5.2, the KLCT mountain bike trails, the trails have been developed and built over many years by well-intentioned users, but perhaps not up to the standards required today, leading to erosion in some instances, dangerous and crossovers and structures. My question to Council is, have Council been made aware of the new trail build and the intention and purpose of the build to provide trails for the local, obviously the local mountain bike community, to provide trails to all abilities, to reduce the multi-use of the existing fire trails, which is the preferred trails of the walkers and other users, the intention to install signs to indicate one direction, and building trails to the Australian mountain bike standards to reduce and eliminate erosion by using the correct gradient, crossfall and drainage.
Thank you, Mr. Russell. As you're aware, we have a fairly extensive report and have had a workshop on part of this. So, and again, it is going to be raised later in the meeting. So thank you for your questions. Do I have any other questions?
G'day. Justin Warren, 142 Old Acre Street, Devonport. In regards to the agenda 5.2, KLCT Mount Bike Trails, page 287 of the agenda, on page 3 of the same letter as previous, asked by Josh Cox, there is a picture of an ancient Aboriginal axe chopper lane on some pretty green grass. Now, I've ridden in KLCT for 20 years, and I've never seen lush green grass in KLCT. So I just want to ask, has the council verified that this photo was taken at KLCT? Next question, or has the relic been removed for the photo to be taken, and is this allowed?
I honestly cannot answer that question. We'll have to take it on notice.
Thank you.
Do I have any other questions? No, thank you, Mr.
You don't want...
No, you may do your preamble and ask your two questions, Mr. Vellacott, and we will get them later. Thank you.
Oh, well, we just make it life easy for you, that was all. Okay. My name is Bob Vellacott, ratepayer of 11 Cocker Place, Devonport. Acting Mayor, will you please confirm that Devonport City Council's financial liabilities, in other words, the debt or borrowings, are expected to peak in 2018 financial year at approximately $58 million? And also, as per the response to Mr. Malcolm Gardam's question, that 58% or $49 million of the $58 million is directly associated with Living City. Is that correct?
My initial response would be no, but I might ask the General Manager to clarify.
Through you, Madam Chair, the issue of the total of the loan debt will obviously not be confirmed until such time as the Stage 1 works have been completed, which is in line with the correspondence that we responded to earlier in the meeting. In relation to the total makeup of the council's loan debt, we would have to take that on notice because it's not certainly there are other things in that loan debt. For instance, there was loan borrowings for the aquatic centre, there was loan borrowings for Formby Road and a number of other projects in the past that are all part of that overall loan debt figure.
Thank you. Your second question, Mr.
Vellacott? Well, just to clarify, that's why...
Is that your second question,
I got that from the audit panel minutes, that it would peak at $58 million.
Did you have a second question, Mr. Vellacott?
Okay, thank you. The second one. So it really makes the other a little bit redundant, but I was accused in the paper. In fact, if the above is correct... Is it fair to say that my claim in my letter to the editor of The Advocate on the 14th of May, and I've attached that Alderman Perry agreed to encumber ratepayers with a soon-to-be debt of $58 million is indeed also correct, thus making Alderman Perry's scurrilous assertion as per his letter to the editor of the 17th of May 2017... That was attached on those things that I wish to cast out. Completely out of order when he claimed I was a malcontent and that I had written, and what I had written was untrue and exaggeration. Note well, my letter to the editor, in the letter to my editor, into the editor, I made no mention that all or part of the debt was attributed to Living City.
And again, I will not accept that question, Mr. Vellacott, on the grounds I find it offensive. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do I have any other questions? Any other questions from initial people who have... I'll come back. Yes.
That's luck.
Gentlemen, thank you.
Malcolm Gardam. 4 Beaumont Drive. At the previous meeting, I noted as question 2 without notice that it was public report in The Advocate adopting Living City. Securing federal government funds for the waterfront precinct remains the final requirement in allowing Living City to become a reality. And I stated, and accordingly, as it corrected according to the statement, all funding other than federal government funding for the waterfront precinct was a known value as at August 2014. Council responded, following review of Council's records, there does not appear to be any such statement made by Council and The Advocate on the 7th of August. Regardless, your assumption regarding the statement is incorrect. My follow-up question is, does Council also refute that this same statement on page 3 of the Devonport Living City Master Plan is also incorrect and therefore misleading? Or if correct, then is it also correct that according to those statements, all funding other than the federal government funding for the waterfront precinct was a known value in August 2014, as per the statement.
Take it on notice, Mr. Gardam. Thank you.
No problem. Question 2. Also, at the last meeting, I noticed question 2, without notice, a statement similar to the above one. The council is not the main financier of Living City, but instead is taking on the role of project leader in creating opportunities for public and private investors. And accordingly, when were all aldermen first made aware
of the massive funding shortfall for stage one only, and that was the 11 million cash reserves and 39 million borrowings. The council responded, there has never been a shortfall in stage one. The scope and value of stage one was progressively developed and workshopped with Alderman prior to funding model being released for public consultation, approved by council in March 2016. My follow-up question is, can council please explain what budget document was used prior to adopting the Living City Master Plan, if any, in September 2014, and used as a basis to indicate what levels of government grants were necessary to substantiate statements that stage one was viable in its own right and not a council-funded project?
I will take that on notice. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
I'll come back to you. I just want everyone else to have their turn first. Mr. Johnson.
My question, Patrick Johnson, 672 Melrose Road.
Thank you.
My question relates to the proposed mountain bike track, Kelsey Tears. And it relates to the pressures for supporting infrastructure if the mountain bike trail becomes a popular tourism destination. How does council plan to manage and pay for needs for parking, increasing needs for parking, toilet, picnic facilities, upgrade of access roads, etc., and reconcile them with the requirement to ensure that the environmental and natural values of Kelsey Tears are not compromised?
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. That will be taken into consideration as part of the planning moving forward. Do I have any other new questionnaires? No? You may answer.
Yes, come.
Okay, thank you. No other questions? Thank you, everyone. I beg your pardon? Malcolm, you...
Sorry, thank you. Bevan Tram, 5 Glen Court. Just in relation to the proposed application for a shed up in Glen Court... And on page 37, item 4.1, you'll notice there, if you can see the plan for this shed, and there's a comment at the top that says the required setback for dwelling of outbuilding is 4.5 metres. On the diagram, it has the 4.5 metres to the centre of the shed, not to the actual boundary of the shed, so it's encroaching onto 3 metres from the actual front boundary to the shed.
And your question is?
And so my question is, in the planning phase...
Gentlemen, please.
In the planning phase, was this overlooked? So I just wanted to raise a question on that. And why would it be 4.5 metres to the shed and not to the closest point of the actual street boundary to the shed? So that's my first question.
Thank you.
My second question was, and why was it allowed as a precedent for the existing dwellings that are in that street to actually be used as a precedent when they're completely not relevant in regard to the locality of those particular dwellings? So we've been told that the bottom side, I'm not sure what number it is, but it's on Best Street, but that shed's been used as a precedent. It's got nothing in relation to the locality of the proposed dwelling and the aspect as far as the visibility of that particular dwelling as well, and also from across the road. So my question there is, why was this used as a precedent when obviously what was overlooked was the locality of the shed and the visual aspects of those particular dwellings?
Thank you for your question. As it's an item on the agenda, I really can't respond at this point. But you
Yeah, I think it'll be discussed later anyway.
Yes, thank
you. Thanks very
thank
much.
You. Now, is there anyone else who wants to ask a question? You have a couple of minutes left.
Malcolm Garden, 4 Baymont Drive. Following on from the previous questions, also at that last meeting, I also had another question without notice, and it was in relation to the council as not a financier of Living City, but instead is taking on the role of project leader in creating opportunities for public and private investors. And my question then was, when were all aldermen first made aware of the massive funding shortfall in Stage 1, only necessitate the need for $50 million ratepayer financing lifeline being $11 million cash in reserves and up to $39 million in borrowings? And Council's response was, there has never been a shortfall for Stage 1. The scope and value of Stage 1 was progressively developed and workshopped with aldermen prior to the funding model being released for public consultation. And a report detailing the community feedback was presented to Council at a meeting on March 16, following which the funding model was formally adopted. My follow-up question is directed to the Acting Mayor and is, when were all aldermen first made aware of the need for a $50 million ratepayer financing lifeline, being $11 million in cash reserves and up to $39 million in borrowings, to support Stage 1 construction?
Mr Garland, I'm not going to accept that question. I find it offensive. You may sit down and redirect your question at a later date.
The question is very simple.
The question has been asked and I have refused to accept it. You may sit down.
I think if you read your papers, you're supposed to give a reason
I
for rejecting the question.
I find
I will
it
check
offensive.
It out. Thank you. Thank you, Acting
Thank you.
Mayor.
Any other questions?
Thank you, Mayor. My question is direct...
Your name and address again, Mr. Vellacott,
Bob Vellacott, 11 Cocker Place, Devonport.
Thank you.
My apologies.
Please, quiet in the gallery. Thank you.
Thank you. My question is directed to you, the Acting Mayor, and is, you earlier ruled that my question seeking confirmation of the Council's projected debt of $58 million in 2018... and also the debt of the $49 million attributed Living City loans. Will you please ask Alderman Emerton to answer this question now, as he is a council member on the audit panel and recorded as present at the time this was discussed, along with the other council member, Alderman Goodwin?
Mr Vellacott, I've already told you that I will not accept that question, and I certainly will not ask my fellow Alderman to respond to your question. If you would like to rephrase it, I will ask the General Manager to respond in writing.
How could I rephrase it? I mean, it's straightforward.
Okay, in that case, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, time's up. Thank you. We will move on to questions on notice from Alderman, which we... I will... ask that if you're going to stay in the public gallery that you do be quiet, thank you, so that we can all hear all of the conversation. Thank you. Questions on notice from Alderman, item 3.3, we don't have any. We will move on to item 3.4, notices of motion. Item 3.4.1, funding for the 2018-19 budget around a playground at Mindetta. Do I have... Thank you, Alderman Perry is the mover of the motion.
Oh, sorry. So moved. So moved.
Thank you. Alderman Perry.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I had the privilege of meeting with a group of Mindetta constituents at their request on site a couple of weeks ago to discuss this proposition of a public playground in the Mindetta area. They put to me a compelling case for the addition of the playground to that substantial council parkland servicing Mindetta and surrounds. I note in the council officer's comments there's a $75,000 allocation in the 2018-19 capital works program for renewal of the playground adjacent to the car park at the aquatic centre. And in considering this very reasonable proposition, I would encourage fellow aldermen to defer renewal of that playground at the aquatic centre for 1 year to substantially cover the cost of design and construction of the Mindetta playground that's centre of the motion in the 2018-19 program. The aquatic centre, as we know, already offers considerable recreational options for the children. So on balance, I think a deferral of 12 months for that renewal of that existing playground would have no impact on the amenity and the appeal of the aquatic centre as it stands, whereas a new playground in Mindetta would create a new play space and mean a whole lot more to children and families in a growing part of our city. And it's worth noting it is the fastest growing area in our city, that area from Mindetta to the west, including Mindetta. A couple of the natural advantages of the location, as I said, is there's ample vacant space already there because of the substantial council parkland. There's ample off-street parking in an off-street car park next to the shopping centre there. Because of the open space, it has high visibility for the parents that are there taking care of their children. The land is flat, so footings and so forth, the early stages of construction would not be difficult. And the area is surrounded by long-established housing, so it's a very settled area. So I guess getting back to the crux of the matter, I would encourage fellow aldermen to consider deferring renewal of the playground up near the aquatic centre in deference to this playground for the 2018-19 program. So I'll be interested to hear what others have to say.
Thank you, Alderman Perry. Alderman Matthews.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, I support Alderman Perry's motion on this. I think it's appropriate to defer the renewal of the playground at the aquatic centre and put it relative to the one in Mount Mindetta. As Alderman Perry stated, Mindetta is one of the fastest growing parts in Tasmania. It's the fastest in Devonport, on the list of the third fastest in Tasmania. So I think it's appropriate to do that. And of course, the petitions that have been put forward, signatures, is around nearly 200 of them. So I think it's certainly would be a popular decision. So I certainly support it and encourage aldermen to support that as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Jarman.
Thank you, Mayor. I commend Alderman Perry on this motion. It's really great. I mean, it gets a bit embarrassing when you realise that we haven't had a playground up in that area. It's crazy. So it certainly makes sense. I know that people can access playgrounds in schools, but it's not comfortable for people to necessarily go onto school property when the schools aren't open. And it surprises us that there's nothing beyond Madden Street up. So it certainly makes sense that we look at this. And there's so much that we've done down at the Aquatic Centre so far, so I think it's not going to hurt for deferring that and moving it to a better location. So well done. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Nacon.
Thank you, Mayor. Look, happy to support Alderman Perry's comments. As he has said, there's lots to do at the Aquatic Centre, and I'm hoping that they'll be in the pool learning to swim and having fun. Mindetta Park is certainly an ideal location for this, and it's quite heartening to see the amount of support that's come in on the petition, and I think it's a great idea if we do defer the money and put it towards Mindetta. When there's so many residents, and there's probably a lot of signatures on this petition that are not residents of the area or even of our municipality perhaps, but there would be a great number, it's good because these people then would take ownership and look after the equipment to make sure there's less vandalism happens in our city. So very happy to support 3.4. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Alderman Perry to close. Thank you.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. And I thank fellow aldermen for their supporting comments. Alderman Jarman mentioned that the school playground, which is a private playground, access during school hours is reasonable. Outside school hours, not so, is my understanding from talking with the constituents. Alderman Jarman also made the point that the closest playground is William Street, which is really not really a full playground. It's just a few little bits and pieces. And then further to the north, the Bluff Playground obviously is a magnificent facility, but a long way away from Mindetta. So I think I'll leave it at that. I think the point's been made, and I trust or hope fellow aldermen support the motion. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll close the debate and put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Item 4.0, Planning Authority Matters. The following item is to be dealt with at the meeting council in its capacity as a planning authority. Item 4.1, PA 2018.0062, Residential Outbuilding Assessment Against Performance Criteria for Setbacks and Building Envelope at 14 Glen Court. Do I have a mover for the recommendation? Which is on page 44.
nomination, Madam Mayor. I won't vote for it, and I move to get it onto the table.
Do I have a seconder?
I'll second.
Thank you, Alderman Milne. Alderman Goodwin.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Just a question, if I may, first through you to Mr. May, and probably to the General Manager. We've had this sort of situation before, and if the recommendation is rejected, we need to show grounds as to why we would so do. If the setback is disallowed, is that sufficient grounds to clear this up? Because that's if it gets appealed.
Mr. May.
Through you, Madam Chair. What you're looking at is a discretionary situation. So whilst you might say 4.5, you are allowed to have less, and so many buildings in Devonport do have less. Mm. If you were going to refuse it, you'd probably need to look at another reason rather than that. I don't think a relaxation of the boundary setback would be successful were there to be an appeal. I'm not saying that there will be an appeal, but were there to be an appeal. Possibly, if that's the way you want to go, and I'd be interested to have the other views, then we could probably come up with an alternate resolution that you could vote on.
Right, the second question, if I may, through you, Madam Mayor. The actual height of it, is that grounds at all? Because that is also a concerning point to the existing residents, the roof pitch.
Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Warren.
Just to clarify a couple of matters, the reason for the discretion is based on the building slightly outside the building envelope, which allows a height of 8.5 metres, but it's not the height, but it's the subject of its discretion. It's actually a reduced front setback from 4.5 to 3. In some ways, if the building was pushed back onto the boundary, the moment it's proposed at 1 metre, pushed back 1 metre, and as a permitted compliant development can be on the boundary 9 metres long and 3 metres high. So in this case, the application is for a more reasonable building off the boundary, 2.4 metre wall height and 3.7 to the roof pitch. It's a very reasonable 6.5 by 4.5 outbuilding.
Mm. Madam Mayor, my concern with this is that it would be deleterious to the actual area when you visit the area, and I know we're probably getting into areas that may not have anything to do with the planning scheme, but at the same time, if I lived in Glencourt, I'd be going down the same path, because the simple fact is that it would be deleterious to the rest of the residents, the height of it and the bulk of it, so I won't support it, and we need to... probably the General Manager with his brilliant mind might well be able to come up with a substantial reason.
We've still got a way to go yet.
Indeed we have. It was just a flippant comment.
Thank you.
In this short period of time. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Alderman Milne.
So what I've heard is that at the moment there doesn't seem to be real grounds to knock this application back. Is that correct, Mr. May? Through you, Madam.
Mr.
Warren, thank you.
The recommendation is for approval, Madam Mayor. I can't make it more simple than that.
Okay. So in that case, we are acting as a planning scheme with the guidelines and that we are given to access these planning scheme matters, and I think that, I'm going to support the motion.
Thank you. Alderman Emerton.
thank you, Acting Deputy Mayor, Acting Mayor. I just have a couple of concerns. One representative did say that by using 213 Best Street as an example of a reduction of the setback, has been as validating why we should approve this. I would agree with the representative and disagree with what we've got in our documents here. In driving through Glencourt today, no, once you come off Bess Street and go into the court, there's no other building anywhere near that close. So I find that quite strange. In relation to the height of the building, my thoughts were I don't want to see the people not have a shed. It looks like they've got a couple of little outbuildings there. And so I'm not against them having a shed, but I'm wondering, because of the concern that's been raised by just, I mean, there's only a handful of homes in this area, and we've had people, three representations from it, and I share the concern that Alderman Goodwood, if I was there, I wouldn't like it to be that close and that high. And I'm wondering whether we can come to some compromise with the proponents to have a different roof line or a slightly lower roof line. In some ways, I don't really have too much issue with the 3 metre setback, although that is the very issue that we're discussing tonight. But I don't believe that we should use Bess Street as the example. If we go back to 10.4.2A to provide reasonably consistent separation between dwellings on adjacent sites and a dwelling and its frontage, I don't believe that we can really justify using Bess Street, because it really, that's a separate area. It's not in Glencourt. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Emmett and Alderman Jarman.
My turn, thank you. I've got a question through you to the gentleman over there. I suppose what I need to ask is, we have a flat-roofed house and they're doing a gabled-roofed shed. So there's nothing to do with consistency in our obligations. We don't have to have any consistency with what that is and what it's going to be. Even though it's 500 millimetres, you're saying higher than what is there already.
Just to thank you, Mayor.
Just half a metre, yeah.
Just to reiterate,
I hate millimetres.
The height is 3.7 as proposed. It's not an unreasonable height. It's a typical height we see for quite a few outbuildings. And again, it's only a bit bigger than a single car garage size.
Is that similar to what's in Glencourt already, though? No?
Well, I'm sure it's more than bigger outbuildings in Glencourt. That currently exists.
Okay.
This is only a very small outbuilding, relatively speaking.
All right. And the setback, again, you're saying doesn't have to be the 4.5, it can be the 3 because of what's in the block next door, but that's out on the other, not in the court.
That's the reason we're discussing it now, because that discretion exists.
They do have discretion to make that decision.
Okay. Can the compromise be that the owner could be asked, can you make the shed slightly smaller and slightly lower, and everybody would be possibly happy? Or is that nothing to do with us as a planning authority?
Through you, Madam Chair. What you're dealing with here as a planning authority is the application that we've got. If you wanted to, if council or the planning people wanted to go back and speak to the applicant and talk about those things, it would basically be a new planning application. And I note that the reason it's here tonight is that the decision is due on the 4th of June. And if you don't make a decision by the 4th of June, then you have a deemed approval.
Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Laycock.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mr. May, for answering that, because it's part of my question. If it doesn't go through tonight, then he makes a new application with adjustments so that it can go through. I think everybody wants to see an outcome that'll suit the residents and, of course, the person putting the application in, Mr. Morrison, because I think the lower height for the building would be agreeable, just reduce the pitch of the roof. And I was talking to somebody today that's much more knowledgeable on building than what I am, and said that that can be done in a few different ways, and one way could be to excavate half the site to bring the building down. And, of course, another option there would be for the person to perhaps build on the side of his house and add to the value, because a building of that bulk in the front yard would most likely devalue. I know we're here as a planning authority and we're looking at what's in front of us, but I need to be assured, and as I said, you've just answered that through Alderman Jarman, that if there are things altered on this tonight, that it can come back to council, so that Mr. Morrison can get an outcome that's suitable to himself and, of course, to make it better for the neighbour, for the neighbourhood. It is a very small court.
Thank you.
I understand we can't alter that tonight, Mayor, sorry. But I wanted to know if I voted against it or it doesn't go through council tonight, that Mr Morrison does have a chance to come back with some alterations. And you've answered that, Mr May, but I think you're going to say something else to me.
Yes, through you, Madam Chair. What the Planning Authority really needs to decide tonight is on the application that's in front of them. If you wanted to deal with height, it's difficult for you to condition it to say that you're going to allow the shed but with a lower height, because that's not part of the discretion. It actually falls within the existing rules. So, you know, really it's a decision that needs to be made on this application, as I said, before the 4th of June, and this will be the last opportunity really for that consideration, that decision to be made.
Thank you, Mr. May. Alderman Matthews.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. Look, all the questions that I was going to ask have been asked, and I think the 4th of June, that sort of answers the question. So realistically, we have to deal with what there is tonight, and whatever happens after that, well, that's another matter. So that's
thank
all
you.
I was going to say.
Alderman Perry.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Yeah, look, I listened to all the comments, and obviously there are some concerns around height and a few other factors, but in reality, the only thing we're dealing with here is whether we're prepared to permit the setback to be reduced to 3 metres from 4.5 metres. And it should also be noted that the adjacent property to the north has a setback of approximately 2.3 metres and not the 4.5 metres. So obviously there's been something discretionary allowed there as well. So as a pure planning authority, we really have no option but to approve this. If we don't, then I guess that opens up avenues for appeal and becomes quite messy. So I think I'm going to support Council's recommendation that we approve it, given the comments that have gone around the table on the basis that we are a planning authority and all we are really dealing with here right now is reducing a setback back from 4.5 metres to 3 metres, and I find that acceptable. Thank you.
Thank you. I simply want to endorse Alderman Perry's comments. Alderman Goodwin to close.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. I'm sorry.
That's all right. I'm just checking your speaker.
It is a difficult one, and I fully understand where Alderman Perry's coming from, but at the same time, we must also be aware of the amenity of the area. It's just unfortunate that can't be come within the envelope of this application. But having said that, we'll close it and test it on the floor. Thank you.
I'll close the debate and put the motion. All those in favour of the recommendation, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those against?
No.
I'll ask for a show of hands. Those in favour, please raise your hand. Alderman Emerton, Alderman Jarman, Alderman Matthews, Alderman Milne, Alderman Perry, Alderman Rockliffe. Those against? Alderman Goodwin, Alderman Laycock. The motion is carried. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Moving on to item 5.0, reports. 5.1 is a petition request to seal Weberley's Road at Forthside. The recommendation is on page 48. Do I have a mover for the recommendation, please?
Yes, you do, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Alderman Laycock. Do I have a seconder? Alderman Milne? Alderman Laycock.
Thank you, Mayor. This is just a recommendation to receive and note the petition, and we'll go from there once we receive it and see where it leads. Thank you.
Just a reminder that it...
No, it's to continue to
says that we don't intend to...
That's
grab a service. Yep. Alderman Milne.
Yes, I'm with the recommendation. I just wanted to have it noted that in times of accidents on Lily Coast Strait, Waverley Road is used as a bypass. So recently cars were...
But that's not what we're talking about. No,
it isn't what we're talking about, but to have that as a safe and secure road is what we need. So in saying that, I think basically that's... work to be done on it. Thanks.
Thank you. Alderman Goodwin.
Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Just a question before we go too much further. Is Weberley's Road at all in the Ford Works plan to do anything with it over the next few years through you to Mr. Atkins?
Yes. Through you, Madam Chair. No, there's nothing in our five-year program to seal it. There is an allocation in there to continue to maintain it as a gravel road.
Hmm. Further to that, how long has it been just a dirt road then to a gravel road? So for all this time. Okay. A further question is there any real reason why we couldn't put it into the 5-year plan? And sooner or later, I mean, one fine day, it's going to have to be sealed. Surely, are we going to be having gravel roads on into infinity?
Through you, Madam Chair. Yes, certainly Council could make that decision. I guess our advice at this point in time is it's such a low traffic volume. The cost of maintaining it as a gravel road is far outweighs the cost of sealing it. So, yeah, purely based on that. There is a comparison in the report on the payback.
Right. Yes, thanks, Mayor. And I'm inclined to not to support the actual recommendation, so we'll just see where it goes. And if it happens to be lost, foreshadow a further recommendation that it go into the 5-year work plan to do something with it.
Notice of motion at some point. Thanks.
At some point, we'll just see how it goes. Thank you.
Thank you. Alderman Jarman.
Thank you. Look, just a question. Obviously, the city engineer went and had a look at it and obviously thought it was enough of an issue to see if you could get the government's flood recovery program money. So there must have been enough cause for this person to decide that it should look at that funding. Obviously, you got knocked back. So do we get a chance to see that report and get information on that? Because at the end of the day, we've got not just 8 residences up in that area. There'd be other people travelling on that road as well, not just the 8 people. There'd be visitors, there'd be different things. And we've also got, is Ertlers using that road as well?
According to the report.
It's a major factory up there. So I'd like to know how much Ertlers are using it and get a bit more information before we make a decision on this.
Could I suggest that we work on the motion that we have, and perhaps Alderman Goodwin's notice of motion might bring some further information at a further date. This is simply accepting. Otherwise, we're going off on a tangent that isn't completely relevant to the motion that we have in front of us. Alderman Laycock.
Thank you, Mayor. Can I just ask one of the planners through you, Mayor, the length of the road that would need to be sealed? Does anybody know? I know the road. It's obviously, but I'm just wondering how much. I don't know lengthwise how much it is.
Through you, Madam Chair. No, we don't have that information available.
All right.
Yeah,
okay.
It's through you, Madam Chair. 450 metres.
450 metres.
Alderman Perry.
Thank you.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to move a procedural motion that we take this to a workshop, discuss it further.
I'm happy to accept that motion. Do I have a seconder? Alderman Matthews. I'll put the motion. I don't need to debate.
Nothing further.
I have a seconder, Alderman Matthews. I don't need debate. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Alderman Perry. We will discuss it later. Item 5.2 is the Kelsey-Tier Mountain Bike Trails, and we have 2 options on our recommendation. Do I have a mover for one or the other, please?
I'll move option A, thanks.
I'll second that.
Thank you, Alderman Goodwin. Alderman Perry. Alderman Goodwin.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. This is quite a contentious issue and probably will be for quite some time to come. Before I get too much into the debate on it, can I just ask through you, probably to the general manager, Mr. Atkins, the actual area of Kelsey Tiers in acreage, do we have that?
Through you, Madam Chair, 185 hectares.
185 hectares.
And the actual trails, would they take up...
5.2.
Yes, through you, Madam Chair, the new trails take up... Well, they're about 5.2 kilometres in length.
Right, and that's with the existing trails? No, with the existing one. Right. Yep. So we don't really know what in hectares we don't. But it might be fair to say it could encompass 20 hectares at the very outside, but it's hard to say. It might even not be that. But what I was leading up to is we've got 185 hectares of this green belt that sits in the as a reserve, and we're looking to run some... with existing ones, the existing trails that are there for the mountain bikers, and to add some to it. And at the end of the day, I favour that use for it, because it's all very well to sit back and do nothing with it and look at it, but this is an issue we get into, certainly at state level, when we go into national parks and so on, and people want to use them but can't because of various rules and regulations. And if we can't use them, what on earth? We just sit back and look at them on into infinity. Now, what we've actually got here is some people that, and quite a number of them, that are responsible people, and they want to ride their bikes through a bush area. Well, I've got no problem with that whatsoever. And provided that the area, the flora and fauna is looked after, and the burrowing crayfish can still survive, well, I've got no issues with it whatsoever. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Alderman Goodwin. Alderman Perry.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Well, Alderman Goodwin mentioned this is a divisive issue. Wouldn't be underplaying it. And Council have, of course, taken into consideration the concerns of all stakeholders, as we always do. And the conditions detailed in Option A would confirm that. And I'm sure those in the gallery and those around the table have read those conditions to protect the Kelsey Tier Greenbelt. It's 185 hectares of predominantly natural bushland to be enjoyed by all, and I think the notion that some user groups and organisations have a greater interest and greater rights in protecting and maintaining the natural value of that area is just not true, and unfortunately is often a common default position when recreation and environment meet from opposing perspectives. It's always the recreation groups don't care as much about the environment as we do, and I think that's unfair, and I think it's time we started thinking a little bit more positively on that, because I'm sure that the bike club treats the property as carefully and as well, and it's to their benefit that they do look after the property. And in fact, anecdotally, since they've been using the property and the activity's increased in recent years, damage and the lopping of trees and waste dumping and that kind of activity has diminished. So I think, in fairness to the bike club, that they've certainly been good in that area. Now, the Greenbelt Reserve is there to be enjoyed by us all, and I don't think there's any reason why the Mersey Valley Dimmore Cycling Club and other user groups and organisations that have an interest in the reserve, a deep interest in the reserve, can't cooperate. If it's good for Devonport and it adds to our economic and social fabric, then we need to be part of it. There are other areas in the state that are dealing with exactly the same issue. They seem to work their way through it, and I think Devonport needs to as well, and we need to be part of the action. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Perry. Alderman Emerton.
Thank you, Mayor. I would firstly like to start off with by saying some comments about the Mersey Valley Devonport Cycling Club. Is that over a number of years now with the mountain bike people got together, and they've been very proactive in and working extremely hard in developing the tracks that are there. They have been, whilst they have been recipients of a small grant of around $20,000 from council, they've actually put their hands in their own pockets, and they've also sought outside financial assistance from other levels of government. And I'm always encouraged when community groups are not continually saying, give me, give me, give me, but they take a partnership approach, which I believe all community groups should do, take a partnership approach and said, we'll put our hand in our pocket, can you help us a bit? So I commend them for that.
I think whilst they, over the number of years that they've been using the tracks and building the tracks in the tiers, we have seen a significant reduction in illegal use. Yes, people do, unfortunately, probably chop down a tree. But my understanding about motorbikers is mountain bikers is that they actually like the trees there because they like dodging them. And so I hear what one of our questioners stated tonight, that they didn't believe that it was their responsibility, and I would support that in my thoughts or my calculations, is that they actually want obstacles to go through and around. I note that for probably the first time with the consultant that they've had come in and help them, they are actually developing substantial engineering structures that will not erode as quickly as what the natural paths have done in recent times. And so they're actually really doing something quite professional, and it's just not to be honest, there might be a few guys behind me here that when they first started, it was probably pretty ad hoc and pretty basic and pretty, let's just do a track here, but they've got their act together, they've matured, and I think we should congratulate them as a community group to doing that. Also do note that the tracks, they are, I think that I'm right in saying this, that they're attempting to not use the walking tracks, and whilst I agree that the whole of the place, the 185 hectares, should be available for use for all, but they're trying to move off the walking tracks, which is a significant compromise from their perspective, and saying, well, look, we'll build our tracks. People can still walk on them. I'm not sure I'd walk on one if I knew a few boys were coming down the hills or girls with their helmets on and their bikes. But I still can go up there and enjoy the whole vicinity. I think also there was a question asked before, what are we going to do if it becomes really popular and we have to build a toilet block, or what are we going to do? Well, what a wonderful problem to have. That's all I could say, is that we're looking for this type of activity that links in with the whole of the living city precinct. That's why we as a council have known from day dot that we would borrow quite a substantial amount of money to invest in our city and build incredible facility right here in town, but we need other attractions around the outside that will all dovetail together and they'll all work together. So I have no trouble in supporting option A that Alderman Goodwin has put forward, because I believe it is the right and the fair thing to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Emmett. And Alderman Jarman.
Thank you. Look, I certainly support this. I know that there's been a little bit of consternation about this being done correctly and being done right, and I think that's why we're having this discussion, and we've had a great workshop on it. I grew up in that area. I can remember Mr. Vimal used to own all of Renswood Drive, and he had the horses up there, and we used to ride through the area. And it was a pity we couldn't actually access a lot more of it. So I think this is fantastic for opening up this wonderful green belt and allowing people to appreciate it for what it is. And I look forward to seeing the future of this and how well it's going to grow, and certainly agree that the master plan is important to do in the future, so that we can make sure that we do increase parking if it's needed in the future. And like Alderman Ennemington was just saying about toilet facilities, whatever's required, we'll make sure. If there are going to be people up there using it and appreciating it for what they should do. And I'm hoping it will stop all that awful illegal dumping that's been going on up there. It's just disgraceful. So I think this is actually a bonus. So thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Jarman. Alderman Milne?
I won't be supporting this motion. And the reason behind that is process and the adherence to process. A master plan and public consultation. I don't believe these things should be done ad hoc. What I do support, though, is the idea of more people using and enjoying our natural bushland. And if we can get people in there to use that, that's great. Kelsey Tears belongs to the entire community. It's our common, so our common land. It belongs to everyone. It's used by many, many groups already and members of our community. In this case, it should be that all stakeholders get a say in what happens and does not happen on our common land. The process needs to be adhered to. We need public consultation, not an ad hoc retrospective planning. Without this, we run the risk of groups going rogue, if you like, and doing what they want and asking forgiveness later. This is not the way to ensure public safety and the public liability of council. I was interested to read in the report from 1991, which stated that the degradation of Tasmania's bushland and that the value of Kelsey Tear was so tremendous. 52% of Kelsey Tear had been deforested in 1987, 30 years ago. Wouldn't it be interesting to see what Kelsey Tear Greenbelt plan shows us about the deforestation of that area at the moment? So what I'm basically saying is I don't disagree that the land needs using, and by using it we protect it and it's valued. We cut down the all those people doing the wrong thing, like dumping and chopping. What I want and what I ask for is to adhere to process. Thank you.
Thank you, Alderman Milne. Alderman Laycock.
Thank you, Mayor. I don't think we have to worry too much about the Mersey Valley Cycling Club going rogue on this. I think that people that have opposed this type of sport in this particular area have had a long time, a lot of years to oppose it. I'd like to just endorse what most of the other speakers have said about the health and well-being of our citizens. We are going forward with the Living City title, and this is a very small footprint of around 5.2 kilometres out of 185 hectares. So I believe that, as it's been said, the user groups can work together, and I believe that this will stop a lot of vandalism in the area. So I'll certainly be supporting option A.
Thank you. Alderman Laycock. Alderman Matthews.
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor. Yes, I'll be supporting option A as well. Kelsey Tear has been mentioned. It's probably one of the major assets of the Devonport city of Devonport, and it not only is a major asset, I think it's probably it has some state significance, particularly on the basis of the usage for the cycling and bushwalking, etc. I think that's which are very healthy pastimes, and they have great tourism and economic benefits. So I think realistically it's a great thing that's happening. The last landscape Kelsey Tear management plan was done in 92, so now there's quite a long time since that was done, and that's going to happen as part of this. So I'm certainly happy to support again the majority of aldermen who are voting for option A. I think that's definitely the way to go. Thank you.
Thank you. Everyone's had a say. Alderman Goodwin to close.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. A couple of points we should certainly take into consideration. In 1992, the Kelsey Tear Greenbelt Landscape Management Plan was prepared. It's now 2018. There's been mountain bike tracks on the site, which have been used informally for about 15 to 20 years. And the recommendation is we engage ERA Plan to undertake the Kelsey Tear Greenbelt Master Plan. We approve the cycling club to do the tracks. There's a licence agreement with council. The MVDCC engage a qualified consultant to undertake a full natural value and threatened species assessment. And then final sign off on the route by the general manager. We've got every issue covered in relation to it. Further to that, they are going to run these mountain bike state titles here in November. So that, once again, adds to people coming into the municipality and enjoying the area that we all look at and enjoy. So this is a no-brainer. We need to pass this and let them move on to do it. Thanks, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Alderman Goodwin. I'll close the debate and put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those against? I'll ask for a show of hands. Those for the motion, Alderman Emerton, Alderman Goodwin, Alderman Jarman, Alderman Laycock, Alderman Matthews, Alderman Perry and Alderman Rockliffe. Those against, Alderman Milne. The motion is carried. Thank you. And yes, you are okay to go. Thank you thank you for being so well behaved in the gallery. I appreciate the quiet in such a large group. Thank you. I do need you to move out fairly quickly, though, please. Those boys need to be home in bed. Oh, no, it's only 20 to 7. It feels later than that. Thank you. Thank you. I thought it was worth a couple of minutes. Item 6.1, workshops and briefing sessions held since the last council meeting.
Second.
Sorry. Alderman Perry, Alderman Matthews. Alderman Perry. Alderman Matthews.
Yep, no, nothing to add, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Any other comments? Alderman Perry to close. Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 6.2, Mayor's Monthly Report.
So moved.
Oh, Alderman Laycock, Alderman Matthews. Alderman Laycock.
Nothing to add, Mayor. It's, you've been very busy getting into the hot seat straight away, so well done.
Thank you, Alderman Matthews.
I was going to say the same.
It's unanimous then. Thank you. Any other comments, questions? No, that was the launch. I watched the game that they won last week, which was very good. I didn't go to the one where they lost last weekend. Do I have any other comments?
Just a question to you, yes. To you, Madam Mayor. The DCCI President, Stacey Sheehan, could you enlighten us as to the...
It was just a conversation, really, around... we talked about their proposal for spending money in the CBD. We talked about Living City generally. It was just general conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Thank you. Alderman Laycock to close.
Consider it closed.
Thank you. I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. Item 6.3 is the General Manager's Report.
Move the report we received.
Thank you, Alderman Goodwin. Alderman Jarman. Alderman Goodwin.
Nothing further to add, Madam Mayor. It's all in the report. It's all there to be read.
Thank you. Alderman Jarman?
Yes, and to point out that I was really pleased to see that you went to the opening of Costa's East Devonport Distribution Centre. That
yes,
sounds great
we
that we've got that kind of part of that industry increasing all the time in the area, so it's good to see that we're supporting it. Thank you.
It was very cold, Mr. Jam, wasn't it? thank you. Alderman Goodwin to close.
Consider it.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye. Those against? The motion's carried unanimously. Item 7.1 is... Thank you. Alderman Matthews. Do I have a seconder for the reports from Governance, Finance and... So it's the Section 23 committees, the minutes of the Governance, Finance and Community Services Committee. Alderman Matthews. Alderman... Do I have a seconder? Thank you, Alderman Laycock.
You
Alderman
do.
Alderman Matthews.
Yep, no, nothing to add, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Alderman Laycock?
Nothing to add, Mayor.
Any comments, questions? No. Alderman Matthews to close?
Consider it closed.
I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Those against? Motion's carried unanimously. I now need a motion to move into closed session, please. Thank you, Alderman Milne. Do I have a seconder? Alderman Jarman? Any comments, Alderman Milne? No? No? I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Motion's carried. We've opened meeting closed at 6:45.